This is Kevin Short, and welcome to the Think Outrageous Radio Show. Our guest today, we're excited to have on the show, is Hovey Smith. Hovey has written a book, Create Your Own Job Security by Starting Your Own Business at Midlife, which Hovey has done. He's done a lot of things, actually. So I'm anxious to hear about how he got here and his journey and what the motivation was on this particular book. So, Hovey, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks very much. Yes, my outrageous idea for your listeners is to create a whole series of jobs throughout one's life. There are many books on how to start a company, how to do a business plan, blah, 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 the details, how to file a patent, and so on. And through my life, I've done a lot of stuff. I've been four times involved in retail trade, starting as a nine-year-old. I am a professional geologist. I'm a combat engineer. I have been an author. I've written, depending on how you count, ebooks versus soft covers versus whatever, whatevers that are now out there these days, some 19 books. And this latest one, Create Your Own Job Security, is based on my experience. And what it's trying to tell the readers is that, yeah, a person needs to start a whole series of businesses throughout their lives so that they have something to fall back on in mid to late life when they might suddenly lose their jobs.
It makes sense. So you've done this a number of times. If I remember correctly, I'm trying to remember the founder of Kentucky Fried Chicken. I think he founded that.
Colonel Sanders, of course.
Right, yes. After he retired.
Yeah, Colonel Sanders started his business in his 70s, and he franchised it out. You're never too old or too young to start a business. In fact, I encourage teenagers to start their own entrepreneurial activities, doing what they can do in the neighborhood, maybe cut lawn, maybe wash cars. But make a business out of it and get used to that idea and that concept.
So when did you hit on this idea? Because you've had a very successful career in a lot of different arenas. When did it occur to you that you loved starting up businesses? You loved having different forms of income?
Well, part of it is a creature that I am. I am by nature a very creative person. We are, meaning people as creative as I am, are a very small percentage of the population. It's not a common gift or affliction, depending on how you look at it. Mm-hmm. So I come up with all kinds of ideas, and I put a lot of these into motion. It is a path to madness to generate tremendous numbers of ideas, but never bring any to fruition. Mm-hmm. And some people, unfortunately, are in that condition. But I'm able to do a lot of things. That's why I do I've done plays that we haven't talked about. I've also done podcast radio. I also have some 700 YouTube videos up. So I'm a very active guy. So this has got me involved in a lot of fields and seeing a lot of real business potential in a lot of different places.
So what do you find that an individual's biggest fear is of starting their own business?
Fear of failure.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have it beaten into them through various systems that they could only do one type of job or do only one thing in their lives. And that was never true and is not true now. But nonetheless, the union system reinforces this kind of idea. So if you've been brought up into a union shop culture, if you're an engineer, you cannot change a light bulb in your own office. You have to call in somebody to do that, which is absolutely ridiculous, of course. In my view, a much more valuable employee is a person who can conceive of things and different ways of doing things, who doesn't have to follow the rote system that's been developed over the centuries, but can think and conceive of something new. And yeah, I'm that kind of person. And those make the most valuable employees. The Bill Gateses of the world. people who can think outside the box, who can come up with something genuinely new. And that is a rare thing, to be able to do that, and to even rarer yet, actually make a commercial business from it.
Right. I was just going to say, just so they have a good idea, how do they assess whether or not they have the skills to execute the creative idea?
Well, this we also get into in the book. In practice, what I suggest people do is they start out, depending on their age, if they are an older guy, just take a whole day and sort of do a "this is my life" kind of thing, and systematically think through everything they have done in the way of business ventures in their lives that have returned money, or that they would like to do, or ideas they thought about that may be still viable that were rejected by the former company, or what they saw somebody else do that they think, well, yeah, I'd really like to do that. And list these and get some 25 of them up. And then categorize these into short term, medium term, and long term. By this, I mean short term, things you can return to money right away. You need to pay next month's rent. Okay, you can sell things on eBay. But approach this as a business. Become an extreme specialist in a certain category of item that you're passionate about for some reason or other, and sell to others who have the same inclinations. I don't care if this is stamps or glass eyeballs or mustache cups or whatever it might be. But pick some niche market and become an expert in it. Okay, that's one way. Another way is to do things for your neighbors. The population is aging. People need shoppers. People need drivers. People need people to mow their lawns because they just can't do it anymore. Or maybe they're temporarily disabled, like we older people get from time to time, and we can't sit on a lawnmower for 4 hours, like I have to do to mow my own lawn. So, yeah, there's work to be had if people will just care to look for it and let their neighbors know that, yeah, I can do this for you. So that's another, these are short-term ways. The medium-term ways are things that, well, what do I actually need certification for? Do I need to have a state license to do thus and such, to be a contractor, to be an electrical contractor? Well, the answer is yes, you do. And so you train for your license, you get your license, and that's a medium-term activity. This is something that's going to take months to do. But in the meantime, you work your short-term stuff to get some money in the house while you work on your certification in a trade, or take college courses, or even complete a college degree. And if you are fortunate enough to be able to go to college, look around and make connections with people who have like inclinations. Mm-hmm. Maybe these by themselves can lead to a business. Many have. And finally, long-term, pick something that is your passion, work that you would do even if nobody paid you. And you may have decades to work on this, but think of a way to make that a money-earning venture and make that your late life venture to take you through the rest of your life. So that's the general program.
Yep, very good. So talk about how you came up with the idea for Hovey's Knives of China.
Okay. Well, this is a case study of a sort on my own inclination. As a kid, I was always interested in coinage. Well, back then, we had real silver coins, you know? Uh-huh. Yeah, we did. And they were interesting. But among the most peculiar and strange of the world's coins was Chinese knife money. And these are cast bronze objects up to a foot long, commonly 6 inches long. They were actually shaped like kitchen knives of a Chinese design that were very unusual in that they had rings, they had blades, they typically had offset handles. And these were done 3,000 years ago when China had the most advanced civilization in the world. it wouldn't be equaled by the Roman Empire for another 1,000 years. And I thought it would be real neat to actually take these and use these as inspiration and then make modern knives out of modern steels for today's cooks and chefs. So that was the original concept that I came up with for my own company. And so we make these actually in Central Georgia.
Wow. Great idea. So how's that doing so far?
Well, we have sold a few knives and will sell a few knives. These are custom knives. They are of necessity expensive. So the market is pretty slim, quite frankly. But the money-making potential in this is to franchise the designs. The idea generally is to make something once and sell it often. So I make a pattern. And my knives are so distinctive that they are like none others on earth. So if somebody rips off a copy of my knives, hey, guys, you know, that's really my design, and I think you should pay me royalty for it. Mm-hmm. And so we have these patterns, and they're very effective. I do a better job of design than I actually do manufacturing. I'm playing around with the steels right now. I'm not quite happy with the hardness we're getting on some of our blades. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the idea is you make a design or designs, and then you sell the rights to production. That way I do not have to have a factory. I do not have to worry about payroll. I do not have to worry about taxes and all these innumerable things that a factory owner has to face. So we'll let them take care of that, and I'll be very content to take all percentage of sales royalties.
Right.
So that's one way to approach a business.
So talk about your two favorite businesses, both from you had the most fun and you made, and the other one being the one you made the most money with.
Okay. Well, undoubtedly, as a professional geologist, I made more money there than any of my independent businesses, and I have been an independent geological consultant besides doing a lot of contract work as an exploration geologist in Alaska, all over North America, and a little bit of northern Mexico. And what we do in our geology locally nowadays is mostly help real estate developers. So they don't build in the wrong places, guys.
Right.
It's very nice to, come up, buy a piece of property and plat it out and have this nice subdivision laid out. And you get there and you find that, my God, that hill is solid rock. There's no way you're going to get a septic tank in that thing. It just won't work. So the better plan is, of course, to hire a geologist to come in and evaluate a site before you start trying to lay out lots and sell them and sprout buildings on them.
Right.
Or decide how else you can solve this problem of, well, what am I going to do with the septic tank of these houses that I'm building on this solid hunk of rock here, like Mount Rushmore? And we have some areas like that in Georgia. We also have areas which are very unstable, where people love to build on mountains that have nice views. Well, unfortunately, some of these mountains with nice views have a bad habit of sliding down into the canyon sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
As recently happened with Vermont's Old Man of the Mountain, they lost their entire state symbol because of a landslide. It had been there for centuries, but it ain't there no more.
Mm-hmm.
Whoosh.
So what's the most fun business you've done?
Well, the most fun business is undoubtedly my outdoor stuff. I specialize in hunting game with black powder guns of all sorts. And so these include some modern muzzle loaders. These include antique muzzle loaders. These include blunderbusses. We took a wild turkey year before last with a blunderbuss, for example. Also took it swan hunting. I've been to Africa twice and enjoyed those experiences immensely. Done a lot of hunting here, literally in my backyard. And one of my books is Backyard Deer Hunting, from deer to dinner for pennies per pound, because I cook and eat my stuff too. So all of this is great fun. So in the end result, like I did, well, about 4 or 5 months ago, I had a hog show up in my backyard, bayed by my dog, the wild hog. We killed it with one of my black powder guns, skinned it with one of my knives, cooked it on a piece of sheet steel on hardwood coals, and all of which are techniques that I individually developed, although some of them had been used many centuries before. So, and I write about it and blog about it and video about it and do comedy about it. So, yeah, I have great fun with this.
I bet. So let me close out with this last question. If somebody gets stuck somewhere during this process of finding a business or starting a business, where can they go to get help?
Well, we also do consulting. And I have a blog that's fairly extensive. It's createyourownjobsecurity.com. You don't need any WWWs or anything else. Just enter that in your Google search engine or in your search engine, and it'll bring it up. And there'll be three categories in that blog. There's a book. There's a blog where I do current written things and videos and so on. And then there is a consulting service. And the consult is this. If somebody sends me an email to hoveysmith@bellsouth.net and they tell me what they want to talk about, and if I honestly feel like I can help them, we'll set up an appointment for a telephone consultation, and they can have any number of people join it as well. And then we sit down and we talk and thrash about this problem. And I do a follow-up report I do to help people get over the problems.
Excellent. Our guest today has been Hovey Smith. Hovey has written 19 books. The latest, Create Your Own Job Security by Starting Your Own Business at Midlife. Hovey, you led an inspiring life. I'd love to hear about it. And we appreciate you joining the show today. So thank you for joining us. And I'd like to thank our listeners for thinking outrageously on a daily basis by listening to the Think Outrageous Radio Show. Thanks, Hovey.
Sure.